Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to welcome everyone to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church, and thank you for choosing us to worship as we worship God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit here today. A few announcements. Some are in the bulletin and some are not. The Women's Association will have a quick meeting after church today. I guess it will be in the library and right through here, and that's all women of the church are in the Women's Association by proxy. You can see the Steeler blanket given by Alice Mellinger, and that will be raffled off and on December the 18th at the party, but it'll be open up to our church also. Tickets will be sold for $1 a piece, and this benefits the youth group, and they'll also be sold during the bazaar and cookie walk. So if you want some, be sure to get them. And who all has the tickets? I know Anna has tickets. She's sitting on the back row in the blue sweater, if you don't know her, a light blue powder blue sweater. I want to thank everyone for decorating the church. It looks beautiful. Who all helped decorate from setting everything up this weekend before? I see Joseph Hand back there reaching up, and some. And they're not all raising the hands, but we thank you very much for decorating and the chrismon tree and the symbolism, and back at the back, nativity scene. I'm talking about nativity scene this morning. Everything just looks so beautiful. With the ribbons along the windows, I don't think there's a more beautiful church in all of Pittsburgh. And I thank you very much for it. In your bulletin, just remind you to take your red pad, sign it, pass it down with your name and address, that type of information. I'll come back to that. Session is meeting Tuesday night, December the 6th at 7 o'clock. Offering envelopes for 2012 are on the table if you'd like those. Christmas poinsettias, you can read about that, $6.95 a piece, and you can pick them up Christmas Eve. And yes, there will be Christmas Eve service at 7. There will be a Christmas service at 10:30 Christmas Day. So people have been asking about that. There will be a service. Okay, bake sale items are needed for the craft show and cookie walk for BJ to help the Christian education program, and BJ's right here, and she'll take, doesn't have to be cookies, it can be cake, pie, pumpkin roll, whatever you want to make. And announcement slipped in there. I even looked at this, and the December 3rd threw me, but that's already gone. December 10th is the youth group sponsoring the craft show and cookie walk. There's going to be 35 vendors, so you can bring cookies down Friday night. What time will you be down, Linda, you said, and Anna? Okay, they'll be here all day Friday up to about 8 o'clock Friday night. So if you want to bring your cookies, they'd like to have everything set up, because people start lining up Saturday morning to get those cookies, and that's the biggest fundraiser of the year. So make your cookies, let her know if you want, if you don't know. You might want to ask her if she needs a certain kind, and make those cookies, and let's make some money for the kids. And the annual Christmas party is December the 18th. That'll be right after church. It says 12:30, but I think we'll probably be eating before that, because church gets out at 11:30. But bring your own place setting. It can be paper, whatever you want, glass, forks, everything. That way we don't have to clean up. It's just a fun time, and we'll sing Happy Birthday to Jesus. If you left any dishes behind on Thanksgiving, they're over in the other room. I don't believe there's any on this table. And have one announcement from the deacons. Okay, if you couldn't hear, Angel Tree, we've been doing this for years. Pick a name off the Angel Tree, but be sure to record it. Don't just take the name and walk out of the church. Make sure you record it with the deacon, and then bring that gift back for an underprivileged child in our area. Okay, you can peel that name off and put it on the gift so they'll know who to give it to. Peel the list off the back when you do the gift and put the name on it, and then they'll know who the gift goes to. Otherwise, they won't know who it's going to. Thank you. If there's any confusion, call the church or call Libby or Kathy. Michelle? you ordered some things from Christian, he has them. They have some extra wreaths, Christmas wreaths, so you can talk to Michelle and Christian after church. Any other announcements? Any incorrect addresses on your envelopes? Let Carol know. Any other announcements? Amen. Thanks for how well Meryl's doing. God bless. It's not an easy thing to go through cancer and chemo and radiation. Any other announcements? This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Opening hymn of praise this morning, 123, O Come, Emmanuel. That our worship would continue with the prayer of confession you find printed within your bulletin. Dear God, we thank you for using John to prepare the way for Jesus. We praise you for giving us an opportunity to confess our sins and to be forgiven. Forgive us when we continue on in our selfish ways. Forgive us when we continue to do wrong when we know better. Help us to be a people you created us to be at birth. Show us when we need to repent and when we need to ask for forgiveness. May we prepare the way for your second coming. May we open our hearts to your eternal love. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us bow for a moment and close our eyes for your personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Jesus Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Let us join together in a sense of unity here at Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church as we recite our traditional Apostles' Creed. I believe
God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From hence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let's take a moment and greet one another. Shake someone's hand, hug their neck, get to know their name.
Stable. Remember, it's a stable now. Oh. by the way, get the plastic Rudolph off the roof. This is supposed to be a manger scene, not Santa's homecoming. Where's Mary and Joseph? Are they ready for the procession across town? Good. Oh, and in the future, please do not put the donkey in the pastor's study. It took us an hour to clean up the mess it made in there. Now, where's my wise men? Okay, remember, you'll be following Mary and Joseph. As you come through town, I want you to point at the mountain over there and keep making references about the star you're following.
What star?
We're working on it. I've got three very reliable people making sure that we'll have a star position at the top when it's lit. Everyone in town will be able to see it. In fact, they're taking it up now, even as we speak. Okay, let's line up over here.
Being happy would really be a plus in this.
beautiful. Our responsive reading will be on the screen. I'll read one line, you'll read the next. Advent is a time to watch.
We watch and hope for the Lord, O come Emmanuel.
During Advent, we watch for hope in the midst of despair.
We watch and hope for the Lord, O come Emmanuel.
During Advent, we watch for forgiveness in the midst of rebellion.
We watch and hope for the Lord, O come Emmanuel.
During Advent, we watch for peace in the midst of conflict. During Advent, we watch for the presence of God in the midst of a fallen world.
We watch and hope for the Lord, O come Emmanuel.
This morning we lit two candles. The first candle reminds us that Advent is a time of waiting. We wait in anticipation for God to fulfill every promise set forth in the Bible. The second candle reminds us that Advent is also a time of watching. We watch with expectant eyes, trusting that God is active, present, and constantly at work, leading all of creation towards the plan of redemption. As we lit the second candle, we asked for faith to watch for God's presence and open the eyes to see all that God is doing. Like open up this portion of the service for the pastoral prayer, and you can peruse the back of your bulletin and look at many names that we've got listed that we're still praying for. Some in church, some are not, and let's continue to pray for them and their situations, and many other persons who are not listed in our church in general during this Advent and Christmas season. Any other prayer requests at this time? Carla? Carla, for some personal problems. Anyone else? Kathy? Nephew wants to find God and pray he does. Prayers for his two grandfathers.
Pretty upset.
For Tiana, she was in a 7-Eleven. A guy came in with a gun and pointed it towards her.
Good
prayer of Thanksgiving test, and everything came out good. Anyone else? Let's go to the Lord in prayer and all those unspoken requests this morning also. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Dear God in heaven, during this Advent season, as we learn to wait in faith, help us now to watch with a sense of expectation. Open our eyes that we might see the ways that you are at work around us, within us, and through us. Use us to reach out to people who are hurting, who are sick, who are in spiritual crises, who do not know the Lord Jesus as their Savior, who are not attending church, who are caught up in the midst of drugs and alcohol and all kinds of dilemma in their life, who are especially hurting during this Advent Christmas season, who see all the things and think that they need them. Lord, we pray for all the persons mentioned this day in our bulletin, our Valley newsletter. The names and situations that were spoken from the congregation. All those persons that have something close in their heart that they don't want to speak out. Maybe shy or just don't want people to know. We thank you that you already know and that you already care. You're our Savior. You are our friend. You are the great healer. You've come into the world once as a baby and grew into a man. And you gave yourself as a sacrifice upon the cross that we might be saved from our sins. Help us this day to repent, to be ready for the second coming as you come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lord, we wait with expectation. We wait with hope. And we wait, hopefully, as we work for your kingdom to come with love, with a sense of righteousness, knowing who you are, knowing who we are. Help us to fully open our hearts and prepare ourselves. Help us to love one another. Help us to forgive those who have deeply, deeply hurt us. Help us to reach out to those who are sick. Lord, let those who are hurting feel your love and your compassion. Touch them in a very special and unique way this day. Let them feel your presence. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for coming into our world full of pain and hurt and anger and war. Thank you for saving us from ourselves. And thank you for giving us this prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our hymn of preparation, a screen song, Jesus' Name Above All Names. bow for a word of thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. This is the day that you have made. Help us to rejoice within it. We thank you for the gifts that you've given us for your glorification, that you may be looked to, that we may learn to pray to you, to go to you when we are in need and we hurt. And we thank you for pouring out your gifts upon the church, that we can grow in spirit and truth and numbers and love and finances, all the ways that we can reach out with our programs and all the different things that we're trying to do here, that people can find you as Lord and as Savior. Help us, Lord. Bless us and teach us to be a blessing to others. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and our friend. Amen. Thank you. Well, Bill's back to read today after Dom did such a good job last week.
Yeah, I did hear that I got a rival and I should be careful.
You should.
By the way, Michelle, or is Linda in them? Yeah, there she is. Linda thanked Dom for the excellent job he did. Yeah, let's all thank him. Today's scripture reading is about preparing a way for the Lord. In this scripture, the prophets Elijah and Malachi were quoted. They talked about and foretold about the coming of Jesus Christ. From these prophets, we learned that Christ is coming to be among us, bringing with him the treasure of grace. John the Baptist preached about his coming and preparing the people. John was dressed in and acted like Elijah, but he thought that he was unworthy of serving Christ. John the Baptist and the prophets, although talking about the physical coming of Jesus Christ, also has a message for us today, that we should prepare a way for the Lord in our own hearts by repenting our sins, by accepting God's grace, and by opening our hearts to the Holy Spirit. Listen now to our scripture reading, Mark chapter 1, 1 through 8. The beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, as it is written in Elijah the prophet. I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight the paths for him. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message: after me comes one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Bless the reading and hearing of our scripture.
Thank you. Spaz that there for just a second. Apologize for that. A 3-year-old was helping his mother unpack their nativity set as we go through every Christmas, putting it up, unpacking it at Christmas time. And he announced each piece as he unwrapped it from the tissue paper. Here's the donkey, and here's the king, and here's a camel. When he finally got to a tiny infant lying there, he proclaimed, "Here's baby Jesus in his car seat." Well, he's 3 years old in this modern time. Why wouldn't he think it's not a car seat? We all love nativity scenes, baby Jesus in the manger, Mary and Joseph hovering reverently over the holy child, shepherds and wise men, assorted cattle and sheep and camels, and of course, a donkey. But as someone has noted, there's always one person missing from the nativity scene. Correct me if I'm wrong, writes Reverend Derek Aker, for I imagine that collectively, we have seen a tremendous amount of Christmas displays. So if you found him somewhere, please let me know. And maybe somewhere someone has put him in one. But have you ever seen John the Baptist in any nativity scene? I personally have not. He would be there with his hairy, unkempt, wild-looking guy wearing camel's hair. There would be a piece of locust probably caught between his teeth and dyed honey dripping down in his beard. Louder than any Santa saying, ho, 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 you would hear the voice of John the Baptist screaming, the kingdom of God is near. Has anyone noticed a figure like that in any nativity scene? I've never seen a nativity scene featuring John the Baptist. Yet on this second Sunday in Advent, we always encounter a lonely figure sounding out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. According to Luke, John was Jesus' second cousin. John was also the product of a miraculous birth. His parents were both quite elderly when John was born. And according to Luke's account, before the angel Gabriel was dispatched to the Virgin Mary, he first appeared to the elderly priest named Zechariah. At the time Zechariah was in the temple performing his priestly function, Gabriel told Zechariah that he and his wife Elizabeth would have a son, even though she was far past normal childbearing age. And Zechariah became literally speechless at this announcement, and his speech did not return until he named his newborn son John. John the Baptist came from good stock. Both Zechariah and Elizabeth were of the priestly lineage. Elizabeth was about 6 months pregnant when a much younger cousin Mary came to her and announced that she also had conceived the child, but her child was of the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth's unborn child jumped for joy in the womb at Mary's announcement. So John the Baptist's birth was a special event, just as Jesus' birth was very special, although it was not a virgin birth. Big difference there. We know nothing of John's childhood, but we have a very vivid picture of him as an adult. He was a preacher of justice and righteousness who called the people to a baptism of repentance. And people poured out of Jerusalem to go out into the desert to hear John preach his very austere message. Among those who came to John to be baptized was his cousin Jesus. The Gospel of Matthew tells us that John was reluctant to baptize Jesus. And Jesus said, I need to be baptized by you. So Jesus persuaded John to baptize him. Now, the Scriptures are also very clear about John's role in the drama of the Nativity. John was to prepare the way for the coming of the Lord. The Jews of Jesus' day expected Elijah to come before the Messiah. So they said, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the prophets' parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Out of Luke. And behold, I will send my messenger and he shall prepare the way before me. Out of Malachi 3:1. This is why the disciples asked Jesus in Matthew 17:10, why then do the teachers of the law say that Elijah must come first? Jesus tells his disciples that Elijah has already come in the person of John the Baptist. And this was John's role to prepare the way. Nixon made his historic visit to the People's Republic of China in 1972. I remember that. Up until the 1970s, few major nations recognized the legitimacy of that nation's communist government. Nixon's visit had considerable political peril for the United States, since it risked straining relations with nations like Japan and the Soviet Union and Taiwan, especially since Taiwan considered them the real China and the real government. So someone had to go before Nixon to lay the groundwork for a visit. And that someone was U.S. Secretary of State Henry Kissinger. In 1971, Kissinger made his first visit that was secret to China. And then in October 1971 and February 1972, to continue laying the groundwork for Nixon's visit. The details he worked out were staggering, and Kissinger did his job well, and history was made because he prepared the way. In much the same way that Henry Kissinger prepared the way by going first to China with these meetings, John the Baptist prepared the way for Christ to come into the world. Now, John's message was one of righteousness and justice. John's message was much more austere and hard than that of Christ, but it was a necessary message. People needed to know what was at stake before they could be redemptive work of the Redeemer. One writer compared the work of John the Baptist to that of a doctor, and I'll probably butcher this name, Ignaz Philip Semmelweis, today known as the Savior of Mothers. In 1818, he was born into a world of women dying, and they were dying in the act of childbirth. The finest hospitals lost 1 out of 6 young mothers to a scourge known as childbed fever. And here's why. Doctors routinely went in the morning and went in and did autopsies, and then they left there and went to visit mothers and did childbirthing. And they did it without washing their hands. Can you imagine that? Going from a corpse to deliver a baby without washing your hands. Unheard of today. We wouldn't think about it. But he was the first man to link that infection coming from that to the mother's dying. So he spent his life lecturing and debating with his colleagues. He said, "Women are dying, and I'm not asking for anything world-shaking. I'm only asking you to wash. For God's sake, wash your hands." But virtually no one believed him, in spite of the fact that various studies show that hand-washing reduced mortality to less than 1%. But doctors and midwives had been delivering babies for thousands of years without washing their hands, and no outspoken Hungarian was to change them now. And Samuel Wise's practice earned widespread acceptance only after his death, when Louis Pasteur confirmed that he was right. And all he asked people to do was wash their hands. Now John the Baptist came telling people to wash themselves as well. He wasn't trying to protect them physically, but he was trying to get them to wash themselves in the baptism of repentance for their spiritual health. And that's what his baptism was all about. You can't prepare the way for the Lord unless you rid yourself of your sins. And that's true for us as well today. People who heard John the Baptist preach then, his message still rings true today. If you have difficulty getting to the Christmas spirit, take a moment and reflect and look into your heart and see if your problem could be with greed or with lust or with anger or with resentment or with guilt, because sin always robs us of the joy regardless of the season, whether it's Christmas or Easter or just a regular day of the week. Sin always robs us. You and I need to repent of our sins as we prepare ourselves for Christmas. We all have issues with sin, each and every one of us that are here today. Perhaps it is a sin of being obsessed with our own needs and our own concerns, self-absorbed. We're getting more and more of that if you watch television and more. Perhaps it is a sin of being obsessed with materialism and greed, consumerism-driven society. It may consist simply of being blindness to the needs of others and their wants and their desires. A Peanuts cartoon featuring Linus writing a letter to Santa Claus, "Dear Santa, please don't bother to come to my house this year. I realize that there's so many children who will not have a Christmas at all. Go to someone who is needy." And Lucy walks by and happens to read the letter. And in exasperation, she says, "What kind of letter is that?" And Linus responds, "Well, I'm hoping he'll find my attitude particularly refreshing." Well, I suspect Santa would find it refreshing. That is not where most of us are. And I'm not talking about just children. It's true of adults also. The more we have, it seems like the more we need. And the more we feel we need, the less we feel we have to share with others. And Christmas, ironically, brings out the worst in us. Do you see the TV reports about Black Friday? And how about theft? It goes up at Christmas. See the story about the one family that traveling the East Coast and got caught? Van loaded, going into stores, just stealing everything they could, small items. Van full, and they opened the door, all these toys fell out. Homes being robbed, telling you how to preserve your home so people won't break in and steal your things during Christmas. In Jesus' name, we go on a binge that maybe mocks the Savior born in a stable among the least and the lowest. I was amused to read a review of a Christmas song that a popular singer, Cliff Richard, released in England a few years back. The song reaches the top 10 charts in Great Britain, and the lyrics of the song entitled Savior's Day reflect Cliff Richard's Christian faith and included such lines as, "Life can be yours on Savior's Day. Don't look back or turn away." A pop magazine reviewed the song, and the reviewer wrote these words about Savior's Day. It's just, oh. He said, "The song is okay," talking about Christmas and the Savior, "but there's no holly, no mistletoe, no wine, no presents around a tree, no Santa." And then he said, "This song has absolutely nothing to do with Christmas." Oh, if it doesn't make you laugh, it ought to make you cry. John the Baptist would probably have a few choice words to say about that. In essence, he would tell that man to repent of his sins and to find Jesus Christ as your Savior. He would tell us to open our hearts to the real meaning of Christmas. He would help us look beyond our needs to the needs of those who are less fortunate. He would say, "Prepare the way of the Lord." And I ask you this morning, are you ready for Christmas? The real Christmas. Not the one that the world is giving to us and that we are buying into. Literally buying into. But are you ready for the real meaning of Christmas, what it is really all about? Or do you need to have a visit with the missing figure in the nativity scene? May God bless you. Amen. Our closing hymn, 121, "The Word Made Flesh." As you prepare to leave the sanctuary today, I hope that you'll go away full of expectations. Expectations of what Christ can do for you, how he can touch your life, that you're excited that he came into the world the first time, and that you're excited that he is coming again. Go out and tell others that Jesus Christ is alive and well, and help them find the real, true meaning of Christmas. Go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.